numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on Monday. VSiN, VSiN.com, everywhere else that we are located. Matt Brown on the desk, Gil on vacation, Kelly Bidlin behind the glass, Kevin on the ones and twos. And Kelly, you guys didn't mention last week that Gil was going to be out, so people tuning in, very surprised to hear my voice.
Yeah.
But Gil going to be out this week. I'm going to be here the next couple of days, so hopefully we can have some fun.
Yeah, you got the best of a numbers game host kind of throughout the week. We got a little bit of you, a little bit of Jeff Parles, a little bit of Jonathan Von Tobel. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe send me an email. Maybe you can win a contest to also host a numbers game for a day.
There we go. Whenever Gil's out, that's what we can do. Listen, Paul Spohr going to join us, going to talk some baseball with him, see what he thinks is going on in the craziness here in the early part of the season. Jake Hahn going to talk some hockey with us. And then Eric Eager going to join us in the last hour to talk some NFL draft, NFL overreaching thoughts here for me, because I do want to see what Eric thinks about some of these teams moving forward. Did anything that happened on draft day actually change what he thinks could happen over the course of the NFL season? I don't think so, but maybe he does. Now, game sevens yesterday, and a lot of game sevens, and you would imagine me not being hockey guy that I would be starting with some basketball, but I'm not going to do that because the Florida Panthers take out the Boston Bruins in overtime of game seven. Bruins were up 3-1 in the series. Now, this is the Bruins team that was the most successful regular season NHL team of all time. They set new league records for wins with 65, points with 135 in a single season. And the variance in the wackiness of hockey did play out. The Panthers come back and win the series in overtime. The goal goes through. Everybody stunned in Boston. Silence inside the arena. And the Panthers move on to face the Maple Leafs. Game one for that one is on Tuesday. They're talking about the President's Trophy and how there's a curse attached to that. No President's Trophy winner has advanced to the Stanley Cup Final since the NHL went to the wild card format in 2013, 2014, and nine of those President's Trophy winners have been eliminated in either the first or the second round of the NHL playoffs. And Bidlin, I am not a big hockey guy, but playoff hockey certainly catches my attention. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that I'm able to kind of tune in and know that the level of play is a little bit higher. The stakes are a little bit higher. You can feel the energy through the television, even if you don't have it, you know, the sound on, basically, on one of my ancillary televisions that I've got going on. I can feel the energy coming through that. And certainly last night, you could there for the Panthers, and talking about feeling the energy, you could feel the energy get sucked out of the building when that goal went in overtime. And we talked about this a lot, and we'll talk to Jake Hahn a little bit later. And I know that he believes in this. Talked to him previously heading into the NHL playoffs. And this is the reason why people say NHL experts, NHL bettors, over and over and over again, do not bet short shots in the NHL playoffs, because the variance is so incredibly high that you can just find yourself on the wrong end of this so much. You look at this, and we talk about the Panthers winning last night. What we're not talking about is the Bruins in overtime had a shot in which got over the goalie's arm, and he was trying to block, and it went off the handle of his stick and then went out and didn't go in. Like, that easily could have won it for the Bruins, and instead, like, the stick just accidentally got in the way, and then the Panthers do close it out there at the in overtime. It was just it really was phenomenal.
Yeah, heck of a game. It was. I'm with you. I love this time of year when once we get past that NBA first round, where then there's only about one game going on at a time. Mm-hmm. Matt, so you're right. You could set up the other TVs with other stuff going on. So yeah, get able to get NHL on a different TV while you're watching the NBA, or like yesterday where you had the day basically cut in half. You had NBA in the morning, NHL at night. But yeah, man, it was great. I watched basically the entire third period in overtime.
Yes. Yes.
Third period.
Well, technically, since it went to overtime, it could be a third quarter, even though, yes.
Thanks. Right, so thanks for the bailout. I appreciate it.
It's a save. I'm saving you there.
I appreciate the bailout there. Yeah. But no, great game. And, you know, as I was telling the guys downstairs, the Florida Panthers T-shirt is already in the mail because this is the Florida Panthers, Miami Marlins bandwagon. Like, once every 8 years you matter, hop on board, get a T-shirt, hop on board and act like you've been rooting for the team the entire season. That's what we do in South Florida. So I got the Panthers shirt in the mail. I'll be rooting hard for them going forward, Matt.
That's what you should do. Listen, it's okay to be a bandwagon hockey fan when you didn't grow up a hockey guy.
Right.
You can just jump on whenever it seems like that's the right time to get things going.
That's how it works down there. Yep.
Yeah, get her done. What we did say, what we did see is game one coming on Tuesday there as we are looking at these other hockey games out there. Kraken advance beating the Avalanche 2-1 in game seven in that one. The Avs did think that they tied this game early in the third period only to have the Kraken come in and challenge the goal. And it did get disallowed. There is offsides on it. And with that, the game just finishes up 2-1 with that one. I don't really want to spend a ton of time talking about the Kraken. I think this franchise is miserable, Kelly. I don't want the Kraken even in the NHL. This is still I'm still scorned. First game ever in franchise history. I bet them to win. They lose. And I never bet early season hockey. I bet early season hockey on them. It didn't pay off for me. Just move on. I'm done with you,
Kraken. For the record, that was two seasons ago at this point, their very first game ever.
I'm holding
played.
A grudge.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I was very interested to ask you this morning what your current hate level was of the Kraken. So
a lot.
It continues to be at 100%. Got it. Okay.
Yes, a ton. So the Maple Leafs are minus 165 over the Panthers. Panthers are plus 145. That's a serious price there for that one. The Stars, who the Kraken will face, are a minus 190 series favorite there over the Kraken. If you do think the Kraken can win as underdogs, plus 165 is the series number there in that one. Now, on to the NBA. The Warriors advance, beating the Kings 120-100 in game seven. Steph Curry went absolutely nuclear, went for 50 points on 20 of 38 shooting. It's the most points in a game seven in NBA history. He scored or assisted on 66 of the Warriors' points in this game, and their reward for winning and advancing here is the Lakers in game one Tuesday. That's 10 p.m. Eastern. Steph Curry apparently gave a pep talk before this one, went in, got everyone all fired up. Everybody's talking about Klay Thompson after the game, saying he will forever remember this as the Steph Curry game. You hear some of these guys talking about the pep talk that he gave, really got them fired up and ready to go. And, you know, I look at this one, and Kelly, overarching here, I'm not going to say it was obvious because certainly not that Kings team has a lot of firepower, but you did have a star player playing injured. You also had the experience factor, certainly, and coaching experience factor, certainly, on the other side of the sidelines as well. And if you're a Kings, I thought this Kings team, in my opinion, I don't know exactly what you and JVT thought over on Hardwood Handicappers, but I thought this Kings team was probably a year ahead of schedule as it was anyway. And so I don't think you really have anything to hang your head about, right? I mean, you made it to a game seven against a veteran squad with one of the greatest players of all time, one of the best coaches of all time, and you took them to seven games. I don't think that's the end of the world here, and I think you have a lot to look forward to moving forward. But look, you got Steph Curry, and a lot of teams have been Steph Curry before, and you got Steph Curry.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I want to say the Kings are the problem is this Western Conference a lot of these teams have been dealing with so many injuries, but it's still, when everybody's healthy, it's still a very good conference. I don't know if the Kings are going to be able to do next year what they did this year. I love the makeup of that team, but what we talked about all season with them is, hey, they're one of the top offensive teams in the league, but you got a bottom-end defensive team is what you're talking about with the Sacramento Kings. And when you get to the playoffs, you usually don't see poor defensive teams make their way too far through the playoffs. And I think that came back to bite them a little bit in this series against the Warriors. But like you said, experience. And then you just got Steph yesterday. Like, there is nothing you can say. Klay, terrible game. Andrew Wiggins, not a good game shooting. I mean, you go down the line, he didn't really get any help. Jordan Poole, 3-for-9. They only let him take 9 shots. Steph Curry was incredible. 20-for-38, the most field goal attempts he's ever had in a game. 7-for-18 from 3. 50 points. He carried him the whole way, Matt. It was a great series. I thought it was going to be a challenge for the Warriors. Warriors. It ended up being just that. It took them seven games to get all the way through. Sacramento, there's a lot of young talent there to look forward to for years to come. We spin this forward now, and I think everybody gets a series they probably wanted to see in the West with Steph Curry and LeBron James going back at it with the Warriors and the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't just a one-way traffic the entire game. I mean, if you looked halfway through the third quarter, it was still within 4 point, 4 point, 5 point game. And then from there on, it was just the Steph Curry show. And sometimes you get Steph Curried, and a lot of teams have stories that they can tell you of getting Steph Curried. And Steph Curry goes out 50 points again, the most in a game seven in history. What that does is set up a matchup with the Lakers. Minus 145 for the Warriors in that series. Lakers are plus 120 as an underdog. Now, the Heat do take game one, 108 to 101. Big story coming out of this one, though, Jimmy Butler's ankle, and how severe is this injury and how much is it going to affect him going forward? It was joked about after the game, but it was kind of joked about probably with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek going, oh, yeah, he's just a decoy out there. He was just running decoy. Now, he hurt this ankle, did end up playing all the way until the very end. It didn't come out until about 25 seconds left in the game, but boy, this was certainly scary for Heat fans out there. Now, the Knicks, you did not play with Julius Randle out there. You also shot 20.6% from three, and you did only lose by 7 points. So, Kelly, that's, to me, Jimmy Butler limited. You shot extremely poor from three. You didn't have Julius Randle. Of course, you don't ever want to lose a game, but if you did lose a game with all of those factors in play here and you only lost by seven, I think maybe this is maybe this does really shift kind of back to the Knicks here.
I hear you, but this the one thing that was clear yesterday to me, and I'm a guy who did wasn't a big bet, but I bet the Knicks before the series started. Mm. I bet their series price. I watching that game. If they don't have Julius Randle, they're in serious trouble. I don't know if they can get past this series. So I don't think I'll be dipping back into any Knicks bets until he gets back on the court.
We will certainly monitor that injury situation. If anything comes up from Jimmy Butler as well, you know, these rolled ankles, sometimes we don't even get the news the next day, right? Because sometimes it takes a day to set in. So we'll see how that all plays out when we come back. Look at some updated NBA odds as well.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. State-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you do have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Matt Brown in for Gil this week. I read that like a champ, I might add. Here's the deal. So Gil probably has read that about 7,000 million times. So he just has it. Yes. He just has it down by heart. So Kelly prints me out this thing. It is chopped up. There's one words on lines. There's sentences broken up into nine different things. I was able to fly right through that. That is a pro job right there by me. And honestly, you failed me, Kelly, and I saved you yet again. It's two saves and two segments, buddy.
Way to go, bro.
Two saves and two segments, my friend. A little bit of news here we do want to talk about on the golf side of things, and this is mainly just more of a precursor to what we're getting back into this week. Tony Finau does go down to Mexico. He was one of the two betting favorites there with John Rahm, and he takes down the title. Oh, John Rahm, second place. So your two betting favorites finish 1 and 2 in that one. The reason I even bring it up is because it does put us back into where we're getting into these designated events. The Wells Fargo this week will have one of those fat prize pools. You will not see Scottie Scheffler or John Rahm in this one. They are allowed to take off one designated event over the course of the season. This is the one they are choosing to do. Rahm, obviously, because he's coming off of playing down in Mexico. He did pick up $800,000 for his efforts, I might add. But then Scottie Scheffler, look, you're allowed to take one off, so he's going to take one off as well. If you look back on stats from last year, guys, just remember this was not played at Quail Hollow last year. This was played at TPC Potomac. So it is not just a carryover from last year as well, Kelly. But, I mean, listen, we're looking at a stacked field yet again. I know we're not going to have Rahman Scheffler, but it's still everybody else that's in the field. So something that we will certainly preview on Long Shots later on in the week here. But I am looking forward to getting back to the full field events with the regular format on a course that we kind of know, with all of the big guns going after the big money.
Yeah, me too. We got Rory in a short favorite, about plus 800 over at DraftKings. Yes, the reminder, this is at Quail Hollow, where he's just had a lot of success. They played this event at Potomac last year, getting ready for the President's Cup last year at Quail Hollow. So, yeah, Rory with a lot of success here. Not exactly the greatest recent form, I guess, for Rory, I'll put it that way. But, yeah, a lot more we'll cover. You and I will cover later today on Long Shots, kind of what happened down at the Mexico Open, and a quick look ahead at the Wells Fargo. And tomorrow, all three of us, you, me, and Wes Reynolds, on Long Shots. Check it out. Find it wherever podcasts can be found.
We will certainly ask Paul Sporer what he thinks about this bit of news, but Philadelphia Phillies look like they might get Bryce Harper back into the lineup for them as early as Tuesday. So long as he gets the thumbs up from the staff there, it looks like he could be back well earlier than we expected. This was something we thought maybe end of May we would be getting Bryce Harper back, not the beginning of May getting Bryce Harper back. And this is a team that certainly desperately needs him right now. So we'll see what Paul thinks about that and what kind of impact he thinks that that's going to play right from the get-go here as Bryce Harper comes back from, again, a surgery that typically puts the guys out for about 9 months. Surgeries aren't even I don't even know anything about surgeries anymore, because surgeries now, from when I was 25 years old, I don't even know what they do. Like, a surgery like this, a guy would have been out 3 years. He's back in 3 months. I don't even know. I don't even get it anymore. Like, the medical technology by the day is just getting so much better. We're going to find guys getting surgery at halftime at NFL games by 2026, and they're just going to come back out and, oh, yeah, he had his knee scoped at halftime. He's good to go. Everything's fine. I just can't even believe this, but Bryce Harper looks like he's going to be back in there.
Yeah, ACLs, you just patch up like tires forward. Like, you're good. You're good. We'll figure it out at the end of the season.
Yeah, he took some elixir at halftime, and everything's good to go. Everything's mended itself. He's going to Wolverine his knee, and everything's good. So
Philly's 25-1 to win the World Series.
Yeah, and listen, again, Bryce Harper's getting back in there. He's not there for his defense, obviously, and with this reconstructed elbow, that is going to be something that we'll be monitoring on the defensive side of things. But look, playing a lot of first base, at least in his workouts. And so they want his bat. And his bat added to that lineup with all of those other gigantic bats that are in that lineup. Now, the defense for the Phillies is always going to be an issue. This is a team, whenever you look, they are going to lose runs. If you compare them to the rest of the teams in Major League Baseball, they are going to lose runs defensively because they play very poor defense. But certainly when it comes to the sticks up and down, it is a very feared lineup, no doubt about that.
Phillies, yes, no to make the playoffs, minus 110. Either way, do they make it or do they not, Matt?
They're going to make it.
They're going to make it?
They're going to make
it. All right.
Let's get it in there. all right, so let's look at some of these updated NBA series odds. And these are a little bit wonkier than they would seem to be normally, because we have the Celtics as minus 500 here over the Philadelphia 76ers, which are plus 380. And guys, if you haven't heard, I imagine you have, Joel Embiid is doubtful for Game 1. I don't know what that means for the rest of the series, but listen, if you go down a game to a team that's probably better than you anyway, it's not a good place to be in. Sixers nearly 4-1 here if you want them on the series price. I cannot envision any scenario in which, if Joel Embiid is not out on the court, that this Sixers team is able to beat this Celtics squad. I mean, Kelly, we look at a Celtics team that we thought was pretty much the best team in the conference all year long, as it was anyway. The 76ers, the only chance in the world would have been a Herculean effort from a Joel Embiid, which, by the way, was certainly in the realm of outcomes, because we've seen these Herculean efforts from Joel Embiid throughout the course of the season. But now it's one of those things where if he's not going to even play, if he can't even give it a go, that means even if he can get back out there over at any point throughout the course of this series, he's going to be very, very far from 100%. I'm not, look, most people's bankrolls aren't equipped to lay minus 500. I'm not going to do it either. That being said, it would be favorite or pass for me 100% of the time. I'm not going to take even the 4-1 on the Sixers in this thing.
Yeah, I was able to get ahead of the news a little bit last week and late 7 and then 8 again tonight with the Celtics. I'm with you. I mean, when we're talking about this series as a whole, I think even with Joel Embiid out on the court, it's not exactly the best matchups in the world for the 76ers, especially on the defensive side of the ball with what Tatum and Brown can do on the wings. And then now you take away a rim protector, too, that you got to keep in mind. We don't often bring that up as part of Joel Embiid's game, but, racked up some blocks this year. They take away that rim protection, allow those guys to get to the basket a little bit easier. I think that's a big problem. We're talking about on-off splits plus 10.9 points per 100 possessions with Joel Embiid on the court this season for the Philadelphia 76ers, if you're wondering really what that looks like. His last two games against Boston, and these were the ones that mattered the most, he dropped 52 and 41, not going to be in the lineup. Those are big, big deals for the 76ers. I think that it's going to be a tough series to bet. I'm with you. I think this is probably looking like a 4-1 probably series, in my opinion.
I was going to say, maybe if you wanted to dabble in just the series or exact games or something like that, like you could get a better number than the 500, but that's really the only way that I could imagine going about it.
Yeah, and yeah, I think worth bringing up, too, we talked a lot about the Celtics kind of beginning of the season and how hot they were, and kind of in the middle of the season, they maybe dipped a little bit in some of their statistical output, Matt, but really at the end of the regular season, they ended on a 13-7 in their last 20 games. They were plus 8.5 points per 100 possessions over at cleaning the glass. That was first in net rating in the entire NBA over that time, and then first on defense over that time, too, which is just that be huge for the rest of the playoffs. Look, they're odds on favorites to win the East. I think that number's absolutely right. With the Bucks now out of the playoffs, this is the Celtics to take. I think to take the NBA Finals.
The other series, the Heat and the Knicks, as we just mentioned, minus 150 for the Heat, plus 125 for the Knicks. Now, Kelly, I guess the question here is as us not being doctors and getting no reports whatsoever.
Can't bet it.
How bad is this ankle injury for Jimmy Butler? And here's the problem, I think, even if it's not as severe as maybe it looked, even though he hit the court, looked like he was in tremendous pain, he was able to play through it. Now, adrenaline, anyone will tell you, the adrenaline, everything that goes on, it's definitely the day after where something like this sets in. Jimmy Butler has to be Jimmy Butler in order for him to be as effective. Like, he's not the guy that, even if his ankles bother him, he can just stand at the three-point line. Like, that's not Jimmy Butler's game. Like, he can't contribute from standing at the three-point line. That would actually play in the Knicks' favor if Jimmy Butler starts shooting a ton of threes and things like that. So Jimmy's game, as you well know, is being Jimmy Butler, being incredibly athletic, getting in there, grinding, making those tough two-pointers that nobody even shoots anymore in the NBA. If that ankle is bad off, I mean, I look at this, you would be getting a Knicks price at plus 125 that would probably be much, much better than when news is official that Jimmy Butler is, let's say, out either next game or out for two games, whatever it might be.
Yeah, this is I don't really know what to make of that at the end of the game, right? Yeah. Like, I really thought he'd leave when it kind of looked like the Heat had it in the bag, and no, they kind of kept him out there. That, you know, we want to call it a decoy, but yeah. Man, I wouldn't, if he's truly injured, I wouldn't be messing around with a guy on the court at the end of the game like that. So I don't know. I think that right now with injuries in that series, you got to be careful betting.
Yeah, with the Randall thing as well, I think it's unbettable. I think you just have to sit back and watch. Paul Spohr from Fangraphs on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot to bet on the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, and VSiN's upcoming Kentucky Derby betting guide. That is this weekend, by the way, this Saturday, the Kentucky Derby. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits, let you see where the money and the bets are moving every game. Also, you get top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. To see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/ subscribe. I have beef with the leaderboard, Kelly, because they take all of our golf bets and assume that they're all one unit bets. And so it, like, if we don't like hit an outright each week, it's like we're down like 7,000 units or whatever in golf or and all these. And
no, I get
and
you.
We never get like plus money on any of this. Yeah. So it's
but I would be more upset from everybody else out there, because usually at the top of the leaderboard every week is one of us golf bettors that happen to hit an outright.
Yeah. If we happen to hit an outright. Yes. As well. Yeah. So it's very interesting.
So if I'm like Tim Murray or someone, I'd be like, what the hell? I went 11-4, like,
baseball. How did he go 1-17 and he's like profit of whatever? Yeah, I know. That's kind of how that whole leaderboard works over there. But it's fun. It's fun. Go and check it out. What is also fun is talking baseball with your friend and mine. You can find him over on the Twitter machine at Spore. He is, in fact, Paul Spore. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
Matt, great to talk with you. First time this year.
I know, man. It's been a hot minute. And we were talking at the very top of the show here that there's a little bit of news that one Bryce Harper might be back as early as tomorrow, so long as he gets the two thumbs up. And you look at this Philly squad. We know the defense is always going to be a question for them, but you just look up and down that lineup, and it's masher after masher after masher. Mm-hmm. Getting Bryce back in the lineup, does it change your view at all of this team? What do you kind of see from a Philly squad, obviously, that we saw make a deep run last year?
I mean, it's never bad to add such a superstar like Bryce Harper. I know that's groundbreaking analysis that people, you know, pay for here on VSiN. But no, obviously it's a huge value add, but it doesn't really address their issues. Their offense really sustained without him, and obviously they thought it was going to be longer, and who knows if they would have lasted all the way a half season, which were the initial thoughts on when Harper would return. It is good, but pitching is still a problem here, and I think we have to divorce ourselves a little bit from the fact that they did make the World Series to calling them a World Series contending team. I think those two things are different. They got in the dance last year, but they weren't a great team during the regular season, or one that we always thought was really someone to be feared. But they got hot in the dance, made it to the World Series, almost beat the Astros there. So now they kind of get that credit for being a contender this year. I'm just not sure if the pitching is there. That is my biggest question. And if the aces aren't acing Nola and Wheeler, then you have even bigger questions. I love what Matt Strom's doing, but he's a five and dive max. Bailey Falter isn't too bad. And Taijuan Walker hasn't been great, but he's a fifth starter. It's not even so much the rotation, though. It is that bullpen, which in fairness to Dombrowski, and I'm a Tigers fan, so Dombrowski and bullpens, we all know the deal there if you're a Detroit fan. He did try to address it, right? Like, there are four legit have been or could be closers in terms of Alvarado, Soto, Kimbrel, and Sir Anthony, but they're all, you know, they all require the Pepto-Bismol to be on hand. And so I think there's still work to be done with this pitching, and Harper, as far as I know, will not be pitching. So he adds, he absolutely adds, but does he change their outlook greatly right now? I don't think so.
I don't know, man. After the surgery, he might be coming back with like 98, you know, the cheddar. You well, know, you know how it goes after the, yeah, you know how it goes after the surgery, man. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. All right. So Pittsburgh Pirates sitting 20-9. And I think this is the biggest question of the short season is any of this for real with this team? What do you expect here to actually take, you know, the rest of the season here? Because Paul, I look at this team and every night I'm like, okay, tonight, they're certainly going to, I mean, this is where the slide starts. So this is where the slide starts. And it seems like the team kind of might actually be good.
Particularly the offense. And I got to give credit to my podcast co-host, Justin Mason, who said as much on our podcast during the offseason, like straight face saying, I don't know, I think this offense could be kind of spry, naming a handful of the players, not just Brian Reynolds, not just Brian Hayes, who himself has not really emerged as a star, but, you know, getting into some of the other names, bringing back Kutch, Carlos Santana with no or with a regulated shift. I've been a big Rodolfo Castro guy, myself, Jiwon Bae. You got Connor Joe, who's hitting the cover off the ball. The question is the pitching. And I think right now, the best that I could say for Pittsburgh is that they're this year's Baltimore, meaning that they can stay froggy most of the year, but that they're probably going to fade at the end and not really make the playoffs, because I just don't believe they have enough pitching. I believe in some of these guys who are having some early breakout potential here, with Mitch Keller, Johan Oviedo in particular, Ronzi Contreras. All three of them I really like. Been a long time Vince Velasquez guy, but that means I've been burned 1,000 times. I'll put my hand back on the stove, but I know what's coming right now with Velasquez. Like, I'm starting him in fantasy and things like that. I'm riding the wave, but I don't know if we can trust him for 6 full months. And then as far as the bullpen goes, if you can name more than one that isn't David Bednar, I got a prize for you. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad, because bullpens are known to be like no-name collections. That said, I don't really see the talent here that can sustain over 6 months. They could churn, pull guys off the waivers, pull guys up from the minors. But in the end, I just don't think there's enough pitching here. I'll be rooting for Pittsburgh, but if I'm going to be betting, I'm talking a fade for sure. And like I said, this year's Pittsburgh, where it's a good, solid season, something to build upon, but not quite a playoff run for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, 7-1 to win the NL Central. Your favorite is the Brewers at minus 150. The Cardinals, who are 10 games back as we speak right now, are the second shot in that division at plus 340. Wow. The Cubs are 6-1. Speaking of that Cardinals team, I mean, is this a bettable team? Is this the buy low spot on this team? They can't be this bad, right?
I tend to think so. Obviously, their pitching is a problem right now. And this is always kind of under the surface with this team because it's not that different of a rotation than it was last year or that they've kind of put together over the years. It's a finesse type of team that relies on that gold glove caliber defense. You know, they got 4 or 5 gold glovers a year, it seems, lately. It's not that different. Michaelis, Flaherty, Montgomery, Mats. I know Woodford's in for Waino right now, which is a difference, but it's not like when Waino comes back, that's not going to flip them. Things aren't really breaking their way. I don't think they're this bad. I don't think they need to remake the entire rotation. They're not going to anyway. I think Matthew Liberatore is somebody whose changes from the spring I believe in. And when he comes up, he could certainly be a game changer. One guy isn't going to fix it, though. You need the Michaelis, the Montgomery, the Mats. You need those guys to start pulling the right way. I think they will. I don't hate going on the Cardinals now as a long shot or a better shot, not a long shot, but as a better bet right now than you could have gotten at the beginning of the year because people are down on them. I wish it was a better number, but Vegas is smart. They realize that this team isn't a true 10-19 team. They're not the dregs of the league. They'll probably be fine, and they may damn well win that division.
Paul, what do you make of the American League Rookie of the Year race right now? I mean, we look, you got Yoshida, Volpe, Hunter Brown, Josh Jung, Gunnar Henderson, obviously, even Grayson Rodriguez kind of showed and flashed what he's all about here recently. I mean, it seems like a lot of different guys that are in on all of this. Is there anybody that stands out to you right now?
I'm a big Josh Jung guy with Texas. He's somebody that I've been kind of hyping all year. The tough part is right now, though, is look at the two pitchers that Cleveland's already brought up, Tanner Bibee and Logan Allen. They could bring up another guy, Gavin Williams. I think it could be a pitcher this year who comes up in season. I also love Hunter Brown, by the way, if I'm going to talk up the pitchers. I know hitters are generally have a better outlook on Rookie of the Year, but with so much good pitching coming up, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else ran it up. When it comes to me with these bets, I'm usually looking for something that is a little bit more of a long shot because, especially at this point in the year, we're 5 whole months away. I want to have something that has a real chance to connect big. I don't want to just play favorites. So I'm not going to be going in on Volpe, who is having a fine start. It hasn't been electric, but it certainly hasn't been bad either. So I'm either going to go long or kind of double down on Josh Jung, which was somebody I did like before the season started.
Over on the NL side of things, Corbin Carroll and James Outman are your short shots at plus 175. That said, Carroll looks like he's headed for an MRI today to see what's going on with him. You got Senga sitting there at 12-1, Batty sitting there at 15-1. He's at least playing every day for the Mets, and it seems like maybe kind of starting to get things going, hit his first homer of the year over the weekend. He's at 15-1. Spencer Steer also playing every day, hitting the middle of that Reds lineup at 20-1. Jordan Walker got sent down. He's still sitting at 20-1. I get it. It's Carroll and Outman is the favorites, but is there any of those longer shot guys that you kind of like?
Yeah, I actually like Steer a good bit. He was somebody that I really liked coming into the year with Cincinnati. That ballpark, of course, is wonderful. And so it can kind of make guys that are solid into something even better than they are. And so I do think that could happen with Steer. I will say I'm a big Brett Beatty fan, though. He's local to me here in Austin, played over at Lake Travis. So I've kind of known him a little bit, known who he is a little bit longer than I have other prospects. So that kind of gives me some bias toward him. I will freely admit that. But I do really like the bat. I think it's legit. Obviously, playing on a contender, certainly not necessary for Rookie of the Year and shouldn't be necessary for MVP, I might add. But it kind of is. But with Rookie of the Year, it's definitely not. But it will get you more attention. If he comes in and gives a jolt to such a contender like that, I do think Beatty has a great shot. So again, love Carroll. I think he was actually my official pick on Fangraphs because, you know, I'm trying to be right there. I'm not just trying to pick a long shot. But if I'm betting, I'm going Beatty. I'm going Steer. I'm not going to go, especially with Carroll needing the MRI right now, like you said. So I'm going long again, and I'm going to go Beatty or Steer.
over at Fangraphs, you can subscribe to his podcast, which you should. You should take in all of his great words over there as well. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Spore. He is my friend and yours, Paul Spore. Have a good one, buddy.
Matt, great talking with you. Take care.
When we come back, let's talk some NFL draft. Haven't done that yet. That'll be fun. Come on back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, laces up with a playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up $25 if you miss one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in and get back $25 in bonus bets of one of your leg if your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you that to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make the appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 or older, new customer offer. All the promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Reward issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire after 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you do have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. What a read. What a read that is. I don't know if you guys were watching sports this week and know that Aaron Rodgers went to sports games in New York. I don't know if you, I don't know if you knew that or not. Like he only got showed like 77,000 times over the course of 2 days. Like I'm like, I know everything about Aaron Rodgers now at this point. Like I know what he wears. I know the t-shirt brands he's wearing. I know all about Aaron Rodgers. I can see the work he got done, his dental work and everything. Yeah. I mean like 77 million times. It's like he showed up. Where in the world is Aaron Rodgers? And it's front row at a sporting event in New York.
Does it irritate you more that, okay, like Tom Brady got better looking as he got older, right? Or Aaron Rodgers, you know what I'm kind of jealous of is he can pull off so many different looks, right? Like he can do the long hair, like
haven't
surfer,
showered in 6 weeks look. Yeah,
surfer,
he's got
hippie,
that
chill,
yeah,
look. Or like he's in his New York business look now where he's like, I'm, yeah, all business. And it's like, I'm like, I trust this guy. I would trust him to do my taxes.
Yeah.
That's what he's looking like now. I'm kind of jealous. He's got so much range on his looks.
Is he like ringing the bell today on the stock market? Is he doing whatever? He's got to do all the different New York things, right? Like he's got to have all, if he's doing the tour to New York, like let's do this. Let's have him at the top of the Statue of Liberty, you know, like whatever. Let's get all these things going here. We do pro tips here, and you can go get them all over at VSiN.com if you want to. And this is one we were talking about with the NHL just a little bit earlier, and this is something that, not coming from me nor coming from Kelly, this is really just us parroting our NHL experts here on the network, and it's a big reminder after the Bruins do go down that be wary of betting these big NHL favorites. This is a very high-variance game, and the sport can lead to more upsets comparatively than like the NBA, you know, whenever we're looking at these series prices and things like that. As I mentioned, just in that game yesterday, the puck would have gone in. It accidentally hit the goalie's stick and didn't go in. And then, of course, they end up losing the game. So just be wary whenever you're going out there and betting these big, big favorites in the NHL. High variance. Sometimes you shoot it and it hits the post and it goes in. Sometimes you shoot it, it hits the post and it goes out. Them's the breaks, as they say, Kelly.
Well, and how many goals do we see come off of, you know, purposely come off of ricochets and stuff like that, right? Where it's, hey, you go stand in front of the net, I'm going to rocket this puck straight at you. You try to ricochet it with your stick and get out of the way. Just
or
tough.
I'm going to fire it at your midsection, and I want you to, like, matrix out of the way so that, like, you're screening the guy and it's going to go in. These are all plays. I mean, they actually do this on
those
purpose.
Things,
it just,
yeah,
it just, it doesn't seem like they're doing it on purpose, but they're doing it on purpose.
Last night, though, those were some pretty goals in that game last night. Like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. Like, those were finding a nifty angle, and I'm like, how'd that one get in there? Got there.
So you're back here. You guys only got one round to respond to the draft, right? Like just one reaction round? Like you guys, because it was just Thursday, right? I mean, so you didn't get round two. You didn't get round three. So let's talk a little draft, just overall, kind of an overarching discussion here of the draft just in general, which is mainly from my end, the Philadelphia Eagles destroyed it. They absolutely crushed the draft. Not only did they get what could arguably end up being the best player in this draft class, and now that is, I'm saying arguably, we understand there are a lot of problems where Jalen Carter might have, you hear about this stuff about, you know, maturity levels and all. He's going to a veteran team. He's going to be on a defensive line with some veteran dudes as well, who I'm pretty sure are going to whip him into shape and maybe don't even need to. Maybe he learned his lesson, but you get him at way down, way lower, could have been the number one overall pick in the draft, in my opinion, Then you go down and you add Nolan Smith. Then you go down and then you get Kelee Ringo in the fourth round, a guy that was discussed as maybe being a sneaking into the first round, certainly could be a second round guy. You get him in the fourth round. I mean, there were just so many great picks by the Eagles and a team that I was already high on anyway going into this year, Kelly. I mean, I didn't think that they – I know they lost a couple of players here and there, but I thought that they had made up enough to where it wasn't going to be that big of a deal for them. But now they added instant impact players that are going to come in from day one and contribute for a team that was already loaded on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know how you could look at this Eagles team and not make them the clear favorite in that division, despite the fact that I know – Nobody ever repeats in that division. It's always, you know, it's a new team every year. I know what everyone's going to say. The Eagles are going to repeat. I will say it right now. They're going to win that division.
I completely agree with you, and I'm actually shocked at the price. Like, that was the first thing I went and looked up on Friday. DraftKings ran out plus 115 on the Eagles in the NFC East. Cowboys plus 175.
Yeah.
I mean, man, it felt like we did the same thing last offseason, right, Matt? Like, where the Cowboys, Cowboys somehow became a favorite in that division. I didn't get it. I think you and I both had Eagles division bets last year, but that was – I think I'll be back on it. Plus price in that division, I think I'll be right back on them. I'm with you. Like,
Commanders have Sam Howell at quarterback, I might add. Yeah. So Sam Howell is at quarterback for the Commanders. So it's they're already wiped out. So it's a three-team division.
Yep.
And so now you're betting the Eagles against the Cowboys and the Giants. So it's what do you think happens between the Cowboys and the Giants? And listen, I think Daniel Jones played perfectly fine last year, but let's just be for real. Their roster doesn't stack up to the Cowboys. It doesn't stack up to the Eagles. So I kind of look at it. It is Eagles versus Cowboys, and give me the Eagles all day long.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. But, I mean, look, I know it's been nonstop talk on every network in the world covering the draft. But, this Georgia thing, it is silly. It is absurd. It is – I didn't even know. I thought one of the more entertaining parts of it was Howie Roseman. I didn't know went to the University of Florida. Which is one of the more entertaining parts of this. Now you're making all these moves for these Georgia guys. It is crazy, but I think they were one of the clear cut winners of the draft. I think the other one that's worth bringing up from
before you move to a different team.
Yeah.
Not to forget too, they also make a trade to bring in DeAndre Swift, mm-hmm. and they're only going to have to pay him like $1.15 million or whatever it is. So like you also bring in a starting running back.
Yep.
What they're able to do, Roseman's just a magician.
And it's replace. I mean, you're essentially replacing Miles Sanders. And I don't know about you, Matt. I mean, you, I would trust you more than me on this. But like, that's kind of a wash exchange for me.
For
like,
sure.
I don't think he's way better. I don't think he's way worse than Miles Sanders. But you got a quality starting running back that's coming in that can go right away. The other team I just wanted to bring up quick. It's the Ravens. Like that is where. I mean, that's a division where I think there are already a lot of questions of, okay, the Bengals going to be able to keep up this high level of play, right? I think we think the Steelers they might not get better record-wise than what they did last year because I think they actually exceeded my expectations from that standpoint. But with a young quarterback, you would expect that team to continue to get better. And then the Browns, major question mark, Deshaun Watson, first full season with him. Is this a team that could get a lot better? Well, the Ravens kind of make a statement, right, getting Lamar Jackson into the fold now. I like the Zay Flowers pick by them. I think that just opens up a lot of different options of what you can do offensively with that team now and a lot of speed. So I thought what they did, obviously, on Thursday, getting Lamar Jackson settled and then Zay Flowers in that first round was huge for them. I think it's going to be really interesting to see where they stack in this AFC race next year.
The big second-round news was the fact that the Tennessee Titans traded up, took Will Levis, bring him into the building now. If you aren't familiar with the contract situation that's going on there in Tennessee, they don't really owe Ryan Tannehill anything. And so even though they came out and said, Ryan is our starter and Malik is our backup and Will be our third string guy, I think that was just something you have to say the day after the draft to make everyone feel good and you don't have everybody getting all upset with the way that things went. But it would shock me if Will Levis was not the starter of the Tennessee Titans come the beginning of this season here. You know exactly what the ceiling is for Ryan Tannehill, which is basically, 5% above a mediocre NFL, a middling NFL quarterback. And if Will Levis was I never bought into any of the whole could go number one overall thing. I didn't buy into the fact that Will Levis could, overtake Bryce Young as the number one quarterback. I never did that, but look, I thought a top 10 pick could certainly be warranted on this guy. You look at a dude who I understand some of the tape doesn't look all that great, but he was not surrounded with the talent that a guy like Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud was. This was a bunch of 2 and 3 stars, not a bunch of 4 and 5 stars like Stroud and Young had around him. And that can certainly make a quarterback look a lot better. Will Levis, I thought, did the best with what he was afforded there at Kentucky. And listen, he's a little bit more mobile than he gets credit for as well. He is a dude that can move around, and it just wouldn't shock me if Levis isn't able to go in there and go ahead and win that starting job for this Tennessee team. And with that, Kelly, that would mean that you have a division where the starting quarterbacks are Will Levis, C.J. Stroud, and Anthony Richardson. And why I would not back the Brinks truck up to back the Jaguars in that division, in which 3 rookie quarterbacks could be starting for the 3 other teams in the division, is beyond me. I might have to do that.
I'm with you. I mean, I think Will Levis is probably the best answer they have at quarterback. So yeah. I'm with you. I think I'd be shocked if he wasn't starting.
Let's talk a little NHL with Jake Hahn here on the other side. And stick around a little bit later. We have the number 1 overall pick for next year's draft already posted at DraftKings. Our thoughts coming up on that as well.